Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
So today, the title to my message, if you're taking notes, is hashtag Life is Better Together. Life is better together. So when Jesus started his earthly ministry, he knew he only had 3 years to actually make a difference. And Jesus was exceptionally intentional on how we use this window of opportunity that God had actually given to him. And when we read our Bible, we are confronted with a stark reality of truth in Psalm 90, verse 12, that we should number our days and gain a heart of wisdom. We need wisdom, right? But we should number our days. This is not a morbid message. This is just a reality. That, you know, we have only so many days here on earth. How short or how long it is, our days are numbered. Because God has eternity in mind. God has forever in mind for us. But here, we are sojourners. We are pilgrims. We're just passing through this life. And we got to make a difference and make it purposeful while we're here on earth. And so when we read our Bible, we are reminded of that we should number our days. Again, King David repeats it in Psalm 39, verse 4. He says this is David from his heart. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. Our life is but a vapor compared to eternity. It's just like this compared to eternity. But yet, it's so significant and we should be so intentional and so purposeful in how we live our life. And clearly God is trying to tell us through his word, through this powerful word that he has left, this basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible, that's what it is, basic instructions before leaving earth. He tells us that we need to prioritize our time whilst we are here on earth. I'm sorry, you don't get a second chance here on earth. You don't get a second chance. This is your one-time chance to make a decision on whether you choose him or you don't choose him. Then we get another life. Amen? We need to prioritize our time. It's hard to believe we are already 3 months into the new year. Can you believe it? And for us who've had our birthdays in March, there's a few of us, isn't there? Anyone birthdays in March? Yeah, celebrate March. Come on, bring it on. You know, it's a reality for me. Here I am. We're already 3 months into March. I turned 56 years old. Can you believe it? Gosh, I thought, you know, when I was younger, and you younger ones, you'll get there one day. I thought, gosh, 56, that's old. I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started. Come on. I'm just getting started. But it is a reality, you know, that I am 56 years old. And, you know, God's plan for me still is, and for you, is for us to grow. Right. We never stop growing. We never, ever stop growing. I want to get to 2018 and I want to know that my faith is stronger and that I'm closer to God. Doesn't matter how young you are in Christ or how old you are, we want to be stronger in our faith and closer to God. I want to be a better leader. I want to be a better mother, a better woman. You and I, we got to get to the end of the year when you say, I'm a better man. I'm a better man than what I was at the beginning of the year. I'm a better woman. I'm a better father. I'm a better mother. I'm a better sister. I'm a better student. We want to be better. I want to deal with these addictions in my life. I want to find freedom in my life. I want to be closer to God. We should be continually growing, not staying stagnant, because you never stay stagnant. You just drift back and you vacate. So this morning, the question is, how can we grow? How can we honestly grow? And we're going to look at how Jesus invested his time here on earth to get the best results. We're looking into God's word this morning. I'm going to see how Jesus spent the majority of the little time he had in ministry. He lived 33 years, but he spent 3 years of ministry, and that was intentional, what he invested in. And he invested into 12 men. That's what he really invested in. But that 12 men did amazing things. Jesus invested 3 solid years with 12 people so that they could continue to do the work when he was gone. They did life together, they ate together, they did ministry together, and they laughed together, and they prayed together, and they did mostly everything together. See, little is known of the crowds of people who heard the message of Jesus, but a lot is known about the disciples who heard the heart of Jesus. Publicly, Jesus shared his messages. Privately, Jesus shared his heart. Now, our heart as a church is to be big enough to impact and small enough to care. We make no excuses that God has called us to be a big church. We've got a big city that needs to be reached. And we'll make room for more all the time because we've got a city to reach. We've got nations. You know, our vision is to be Bible-believing, disciple-making, soul-winning, nation-changing. You know, our message is the same as Jesus. We want to know God. We want to find freedom. We want people to discover their purpose, and we want people to make a difference. That's what Jesus came for, to know him. That's what he came for, to restore us back to our Heavenly Father. And so the message is the same, but the heart of Jesus is the same too. And it's in our connect groups, it's in our small groups where we get to echo the heart, the vision, and the message that's shared every Sunday. Connect groups is a big part of your discipleship journey where you can grow and do life together. Like I said this morning, I'm going to talk to you like a pastor today, as your pastor, not like a pastor, as your pastor. And connect groups is vitally important to help you on your discipleship journey, no matter how young you are in the Lord or how old you are in the Lord. And throughout the Word of God, we see many examples on how to do life in the Christian experience. Since the first time people began to worship God, connect group is part of our Christian experience. Actually, Christian means to be little anointed one, little ones of Christ. We are anointed by God to live this Christian experience. Amen? And so we find it way back in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 18, where Moses was instructed to organize the children of Israel. He organized them in small groups and he assigned people to watch over them and to disciple them and to speak into their life. But Moses was the leader of all, beginning way back then. But then we also see in the New Testament in Acts, you know, we see how the early church were all assembled together. They weren't here, there, and everywhere. They were all assembled together. In Acts chapter 2, we read the account where the promise of the Holy Spirit had fully come. And people were baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then we read on and we see how Peter, he preached his first Pentecostal sermon. And he preached with boldness because he had received the Holy Spirit. And he started to preach to people. And then many were added to the church. Not many were added, many were added to the church. And then we read on in verse 41, we pick it up here, and we read what happened here. That day, about 3,000 took him at his word. They were baptized, come on, took him at his word, then they got water baptized and were signed up. In other words, they officially became members of the house of God, members of God's family. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal and the prayers. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled in their resources so that each person's need would be met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful, as they praised God. People in general, liked what they saw. And every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. Powerful passage of scripture. See, the early church followed a common pattern. They met in the house of God, but they also met house to house. They met in homes. They shared meals together. They had communion together. They shared a commonality. Our common union is Jesus. Amen. So from the temple to the table, this large community of believers continued to grow, and people were added to the family of God as they followed this pattern, which is so important for us to understand. And we see Jesus modeled the same with the crowds and with his connect group of 12 men. And this morning I want to talk to you, in the short time that I have, of 8 things the disciples got from being part of Jesus' connect group. You want to know that? 8 things that the disciples actually got for being part of Jesus' connect group. And the first thing we see is we find that it was where the greatest discoveries were made. I want you to imagine this picture here. Jesus and his disciples after church are walking along, because they didn't have vehicles in those days. They were walking along, discussing, they're on their way to Philippi, discussing about the message and asking Jesus to unwrap things and talk more about it. And then Jesus asked this open-ended question to them. This is where discoveries are made in connect groups. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" What are people saying about me? Who are they saying that I am? And this is Jesus asking this question. And then Peter, the talkative one, and we all have one of those in our connect groups, don't we? Thank God for the Peters in our connect groups. Bless them, don't you reckon? I love those questions. And Peter, the talkative one, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." See, in connect groups, you discover more about God. You discover more about the one that you worship. And you, when you discover more about God, you actually discover more about yourself. Because the more you know God, the more you get to know his character. The more you know his will for your life. You discover your identity. You discover your purpose. And you discover the value you have in him. You discover more about yourself. See, by Wednesday, most of you would have forgotten my message. It's the stark reality. It's heartbreaking because of all the preparation that I go through. But that's it. So that's why in connect groups, you know, you get the connect notes to the message. And you can start to unwrap it and ask the questions and dig deeper. And you discover more into the message than what I can give you in 30 minutes. It's so powerful. And then it becomes alive in you. Using your connect notes will be helpful to you, because then you can ask more questions. You see, focus and intimacy on the word is where discoveries are made, where the revelation of God's word comes alive. And that's actually how we grow family, where discoveries are actually made. Because from Sunday to Sunday, if that's all you ate, then you're in trouble. You can't grow as a Christian. Number 2, it's where the greatest God moments have taken place. Now, you're around me more than 5 minutes, you would know that I love the house of God, not because I'm a pastor. I am passionate about the local church. I believe the local church is the hope of the world. I believe that this is the closest gateway to heaven here, the house of God. Jesus is coming back for his church. He's coming back for it. So I'm passionate about the local church. I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. There's nothing like being in corporate worship and being in his presence and experiencing God and having encounters with God. Hebrews 10:25 also tells us, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It says, "This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning." We are in the last days. Let's not forsake the gathering together, you know, especially as the day is approaching. You know, the gathering together is so important. We get a download of an apostolic message, and it's very important that we understand that. We're not to neglect that. But one doesn't replace the other. If you read the book of Acts, the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit actually happened in homes. The miracles actually happened and were performed in homes. Not that miracles don't happen here, they do. But it doesn't just stop here. It happens in homes as well, as we see in the early church. God doesn't limit us to just here. You know, wherever we go, we can activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit because He wants to see people set free in your homes. He wants to see people in your connect groups come alive in God and experience Him in a powerful way. And we read this and we see accounts of this in the Word of God. We see in the life of Jesus, it was the same as well, not just in the early church. Greatest things happened in His connect group. In Luke chapter 4, verse 38, after they were the disciples and Jesus were leaving a meeting, Jesus decided to go to Simon's home, and his mother-in-law was really unwell. She had a high fever in bed, and Jesus was kind of experiencing to go there and have a meal and enjoy it, but she was in bed really sick. So what did he do? He just prayed for her, be healed in Jesus' name. She got up and she cooked them dinner. So if your wife or, you know, your mother-in-law is unwell, you know, pray for her. She'll get up and cook you dinner or vice versa. But I'm just talking about the practical thing here. Look, we've got to walk this journey. And this is what took place. We see the Mount of Transfiguration that happened in this small group setting. We see Jairus' daughter was healed in a home. It didn't happen in a church service. So you can pray for the sick. You can cast out things and you can believe for great things. There's great God moments in your connect group. Amen. That's where your gifts come alive, where God wants to use you powerfully. They don't have to be dry and boring connect groups. They can be alive and living and powerful, functioning in the fullness that God has for you. It's so powerful when you come together in circles. Powerful. Don't just have to be in corporate worship to encounter great moments. Great moments can happen in connect groups. It happened in Jesus' connect groups. And we are little anointed ones of Jesus, right? Number three, it's where the greatest prayers were prayed. One day when Jesus was with his 12 praying, his disciples were just amazed at how he prayed. And they asked Jesus, you know, teach us to pray like you pray. How do we pray, Jesus? So he said, okay, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. And he tells us in Luke chapter 11, because you start like this. And he gave a template of how to pray. This is not a repetitive prayer for us to pray, but he gave us a template to look at and how to pray. He goes, you start off by our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, Lord, our trespasses, and lead us not in temptation. You know, he taught us a pattern on how to pray. Powerful. But it wasn't in a public setting. It was in a private environment where Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. Now, you may come here on a Sunday and we're in pre-service prayer and you're thinking, I can't pray like Pastor Rob. I can't pray like Pastor Chris. I'll never get up here and pray. But you know what? It's not the eloquence of your prayers. It's the rawness, the realness. It's simple, powerful prayers. And you grow and learn how to pray in your connect groups where you can just, you know, not be intimidated and just come out of your shell and learn how to pray those God prayers, those powerful prayers. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he invited his connect group to join him to pray. Will you not pray with me just for 1 hour? And I'm telling you, they're most powerful prayers. You know, when you're going through the storms of life, and you know, as a family, many of you are aware that we have a storm right now that we're going through. I need people with me in our Garden of Gethsemane. And you know, the first thing this morning that happened, our little Roman, something happened this morning. And first thing I did was get on the WhatsApp group and ask my small group, my senior minister prayer team, please stand with me and pray. And they did. And 5 minutes later, that issue stopped. I needed them in my Garden of Gethsemane. I needed that small group in my Garden of Gethsemane. When a small group that pray together create God meetings together. When you need a miracle, it's in the small group that will stand with you, alongside with you, holding you side by side. Can I just have Rob and Pastor Chris here just standing with me? Just want to show you an example. This is what happens when you're going through stuff. You need people that are going to stand with you. You're allowed to. Just squish me. That's it. They're going to hold you up. They're going to hold you up. They're going to remind you of the Word of God. They're going to help you stand in the midst of things. That's what's going to happen. That's right. As my husband would say about me, spatial awareness, honey. No, thank you. I appreciate that. Just good to see a picture of it. That's what happens. That's what happens. You learn how to pray like God prays. Amen? Number four, it's where the greatest secrets were revealed. Jesus is saying to these men, I know you intimately, so now I'm going to reveal everything I know to you. Everything I have, I'm going to give to you. In Luke chapter 8, verse 9, Jesus' disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to rest is given in parables. So, you know, when you start to get in that small group, you can just ask those deeper questions. Ask those questions that you've always wanted to ask. In this corporate arena, it's not always possible. Please don't put your hand up and ask me a question right now. Ask me later. But in that small group, you can do that. And you can unwrap it more. Jesus was talking to the crowds in parables. But because of the depth of relationship he had with his disciples, he could go beneath the surface and talk heart to heart with them. And that's the most powerful place to be in. When you're in that small group, you can talk heart to heart with one another. You can be in an environment where trust and being real is open and, you know, not pouring out your heart to everyone, obviously. You know, we love everyone, but we don't trust everyone. You got that, right? We love everyone, but we can't trust everyone. But when you put yourself in that environment, you can start to trust and just be more real and open and transparent with what you're going through in life. And if you've lost trust, you can rebuild it. We're human, right? Number five, it's where the greatest friendships were made. Jesus formed solid friendships with his disciples, even when, you know, he knew that one was going to let him down. And, you know, we read in the early church, and we are New Testament believers, right? The whole book of Acts is about community. It's all about relationships. Well, in fact, this Bible is all about relationships. From the beginning to the end, it's all about relationships. You know, God wanted you and I because he wanted a relationship with us. And we messed it up, so he had to send Jesus so we could get it back again. It's about relationships. You can't say, oh, you know, I love God, but I don't like the church. That's not possible to be a Christian and say that. It's about relationships. God is a God of restoration. Amen? No, in saying that, you know, this wasn't a shallow relationship Jesus had with them. It was a deep and rich, go on the growth of journey together kind of relationship. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. We are friends of Jesus. For all the things that I heard from my Father, I have now made known to you. We're friends of Jesus. How powerful is that? From the temple to the table, Jesus shared the last supper with his disciples, his last meal with them. You know, they say that people, and it's true because I've been pastoring long enough to know this, only stay in the church because they find friends. You know, we need friendships. But we've also got to put ourselves in a position to cultivate friendships. We've got to put ourselves in a position where we want to meet people. And so that small group setting of connect groups is where we get to cultivate longevity of friendships and more intimacy with friends. And when you choose your friends, you choose your destiny in God. Number six, it's where the greatest conversations were had. Now, throughout the Gospels, we read how there were many conversations Jesus had with his connect group, with his 12 men. And there were two-dimensional conversations. It's not in a connect group where someone is preaching at you. You know, a connect leader is there to facilitate the whole conversation and allow it to be reciprocated, flowing from each other. There, where there's lots of interaction with the whole group. Not just at your connect group either. You know, like, your group is really just coming together, but it's actually the group that you have formed, that you're doing life and ministry together, that you're meeting on different occasions, that you're talking to each other. And, you know, we have connect groups, they have WhatsApp groups, and they keep in contact with each other and encourage each other daily in prayer. And, you know, they talk to each other in between. It's not just attending a connect group. It's being part of a small group. There's a difference. You can attend a connect group and say, oh, that was okay. Or you can be part of a small group of body believers that are passionate for God, love the house of God, want to grow in God and want to see others grow. There's a difference that you'll stay connected with those people and you'll be encouraged by them and you'll have them standing with you, praying with you. They did life together, Jesus and his disciples. He cooked them fish on the beach while they were out working. He had all breakfast ready for them. That's what it's all about being interactive with one another and doing it together, friendships, conversations taking place. Number seven, it's where the greatest challenges were made also. Now, you know, this is a biggie because I think this is one of the things where, you know, we can often miss it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus said to Simon, "You're not Simon anymore. You're now Peter." And Peter actually, Simon actually means reed. He goes, you're not a reed anymore. You are now Peter, the rock. You are Peter, and upon this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I have given you, the church, the keys to the kingdom. How powerful is that? That's what he said about us. This is the revelation. And Peter was given the revelation of that. He was praising him. He was encouraging him. He was giving him favor and lifting him up. But then we read four verses further on in verse 23. Here Jesus turned and said to Peter, because Peter messed up and said something silly, and probably you and I, we would have said exactly the same. He gave him this challenging, corrective word. You know, there are challenges in small groups. Whenever you get more than two people together, there's always going to be a challenge, right? You haven't been married for long enough then. You know, been married for 30 years this year. It's a challenge sometimes. Challenge I'm prepared to take. But this was a challenging, corrective word. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get out of my way, Satan. You are an offense to me because your thoughts are only filled with man's viewpoints and not with the ways of God." Jesus said, "You've got that Simon sin still in your head, Peter. You are supposed to be the rock, the revelation upon me to know what I'm telling you to do." You see, the reality is in your small group, you should be challenged. Because there should be truth, but there should be grace along with it. We should speak the truth in love. That doesn't give people a license to rebuke people and to, you know, to say what they want to say. But there, you know, the word of God will challenge you. The word of God will cause you to, you know, it'll cut on the way in, but it should heal on the way out. It should challenge you to grow and become a better person. Say, you know what? Actually, that's true. We shouldn't be saying, "Well, I don't believe that part of the Bible." It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. We should be challenged. We should allow truth and grace to emanate in our groups. The challenge becomes a lot more personal. You kind of think, well, I'm so offended that they said that to me. How could they say that? But let's remember, it is all about growing. It is all about not taking offense and saying, okay, well, right now I can't see it, but, you know, okay, I'll be open. Allow your heart to remain soft, but your skin to remain thick. A lot of us are walking around and we got hard hearts and soft skin. We take offense to everything, but we should be the other way around. And you've built a wall around your heart and there's nothing that can penetrate in. And so if we allow the Word of God to break down those walls, we will grow from here. Allow those challenges to shift us from this human viewpoint to God's viewpoint. Amen? Don't run from challenges, but put yourself in it to grow. We don't have people leaving church because something's doctrinally incorrect. They leave church because they've got offended by something. And that is the wrong reason to leave. Deal with your offense because there will be another one somewhere else. And in your small group, where you're loved and you're accepted, and you are accepted here, obviously. I love you all. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm your pastor. I want nothing more than to see you grow and see you blessed and see everything that God has for you come into fruition. You know, must know my heart by now for being here long enough. We must not take offense. Don't let that poison take root in your life. And in the small groups, allow the Word of God to challenge you. Allow the Word of God to grow you. Amen? Number 8, it's where the greatest growth took place. These 12 men that were disciples were now apostles. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, here we read that these men, they were ordinary men. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's what it's all about. The greatest growth took place because they had been with Jesus. And the more we are around this Christian experience, this discipleship journey in worship on Sundays, during the week in our connect groups around believers, we're spending more time with Jesus. That's what it's all about. This is our Christian experience. It's not circle. It's not rows. It's circles. It's being in that intimate, serene environment. These guys went on to change the world because changed lives change lives.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.